Well, let's pray. Lord, may you be with us now. As always, we ask that you would open your word to us and open our hearts to you. In your name, amen. So I am really curious how many of you have done this. Young kids do it. Both my daughters, I think, did it. I did it when I was very young. I think some of my nephews and nieces did it. When I asked at Big Patch, not a single person in Big Patch did it. You find a small twig, and sometimes it's like a pine branch with a little, just a small piece of the pine branch with a little bit of the needles on it, still green, and you're young and you think this would be so cool as a tree, so you plant it in the ground, you water it, and you wait, and naturally it doesn't grow. A branch separated from the trunk with all of its roots doesn't grow too well, does it? Have any of you done that? Man. Thankfully, a couple people. Yeah, some trees do. Some trees that do, it does work. I'm surprised. It must have been a corn tree thing. That, of course, is a picture of what it means to be connected to Christ. When we are connected to Christ, we thrive, we flourish. When a person is not connected to Christ, he dies spiritually. We're in John 15. We're looking at the I am statements during Lent. So turn with me, if you will, to John 15, 4 and 5. And today we're talking about I am the vine. And this is what Jesus said, John 15, 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So as we reflect on our text today, let's start off by looking at the contrast Jesus made when he described the person who was connected versus the person who was not connected to him. Jesus said in verse 5, the one who abides in him bears much fruit. In contrast to the one who is disconnected to him, he, verse 4, does not bear fruit. In fact, he cannot. And then verse 5, he can do nothing on his own. That's a pretty stark contrast, isn't it? The one can bear fruit, bear much fruit. The other one cannot bear fruit. In fact, the other one can do nothing. The person who is connected to Jesus Christ is like the branch that's connected to the vine. He's connected to the source of life. So when we are connected to Jesus Christ, we are connected to supernatural power, to resurrection power, to, if you will, divine power, which enables us to do the things that God wants us to do and be the people that God wants us to be. The person who's connected to Jesus Christ constantly draws strength and nourishment from the vine. So it's no wonder that Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And we quote that all the time, and often we quote it in the wrong context. I can run the mile under 4 minutes through Christ who strengthens me. No, not going to happen. But we can do all the things that he calls us to do through Christ who strengthens us. So everything that God expects of us, everything that he calls us to do, everything we can do when we're connected to Jesus Christ. Everything, every last little bit of God's will, we can do through him who strengthens us. I wish we believed that more than we do. I wish I believed it more than I sometimes do. But we really can do anything that God calls us to do when we're connected to Jesus Christ. Indeed, our text says that the person who's connected to Jesus bears much fruit. Other places in the scripture, it says much the same thing. The person who is connected to Jesus Christ, Romans 7:14, bears fruit for God, Colossians 1:10. He bears fruit in every good work, Philippians 1:11. He bears the fruit of righteousness. And you know this one, Galatians 5:22 and 23. The person who is connected to Jesus Christ bears the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Romans 6:22, he bears the fruit which leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. And then Hebrews 13:15, he bears the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name. In contrast, the person who is disconnected from Jesus, like the branch disconnected from the vine, our text says, cannot bear fruit. Such a person, in fact, may not know it, but he is slowly dying spiritually inside because he's cut off from the source of life. He may not look like he's dying. Indeed, from the world's perspective, he may appear to be thriving, but he is not. He's slowly but surely dying on the inside. When one is disconnected from Jesus Christ, we are told in Ephesians 2:1 that he is dead in his trespasses and sin. And even all the good that he does, and this is as the world calls good, as the world defines good, Hebrews 6:1 is just dead works. And if that person doesn't turn to Christ and connect to him, John 15:6, he would be gathered and thrown into the fire and burned, just like we pick up our sticks and throw them on the brush pile and burn them. It's quite a contrast, isn't it? Now, since Jesus commanded us to abide in him, abide in me, he said, it's a command. Since he commanded us to abide in him, that means we obviously have a choice in the matter. We can choose to abide in him, we can choose not to abide in him. He wouldn't command us to do something if we didn't have a choice in it. So let's think about how we abide in Christ and how we sometimes disconnect ourselves from him. So first of all, to abide in Christ, we need to be in Christ. To abide in a house, you need to be in the house. The same is true when we abide in Christ. We cannot abide in Christ unless we first have turned to him in faith. Unless we are in Christ and he is in us. We are, as Paul said in Romans 11:17, when we turn to Christ, we are grafted into Christ, grafted onto the vine. Then, once we are in Christ, once we are in the house, so to speak, we need to settle down into that house and live there. A visitor does not abide in your home. He just visits your home. You abide in your home because you live there month after month, year after year. And the same way, we abide in Christ by committing ourselves to sticking with him through thick and thin. We make ourselves at home in him. We commit ourselves to following him day after day after day, situation after situation after situation. We commit ourselves to seeking him, to listening to him, to trusting in him, obeying him, by allowing him to empower us day after day after day. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:7 called this walking by faith, and then in Galatians 5:6 he called it walking by the Spirit. Jesus simply called it following him. And we follow Jesus again by trusting and obeying him. Now, rather than abide in Christ, we sometimes strike out on our own. We sometimes think we have to walk our faith on our own, walk our path on our own. For years, I did not understand what it meant to abide in Christ. And so I tried real hard to be a good Christian on my own. Doesn't work. doesn't work. Other times, pride creeps in. We start growing in our faith, God blesses us and so on, and we start thinking, I've got this. I've got this. And so we push Christ aside without even meaning to. And that doesn't work very well either. Sometimes we are distracted by the attractions of the world. We turn away from Christ because something captures our fancy and off we go. And of course that doesn't work well either. Still other times we fear or doubt. Christ reaches out his hand and says, walk with me, follow me, and we look to where he is leading us and we go, no, I don't think so. It's not where I want to go. Because we're afraid. And that doesn't work too well either. In our text, when it says, this is the ESV, when it says, abide in me in verse 1, the NIV translates it as remain. Remain in me. Sometimes we don't remain in or with Christ, do we? To abide or not to abide in Christ, it's a choice, isn't it? So let me illustrate with an extreme example, and this is definitely an extreme example. Suppose you and me, all of us, suppose you along with all the Christians in this part of the state, because we trust in Christ, suppose we're thrown into a concentration camp somewhere in this corner of the state. And you live there for a year already. The camp is overcrowded, there's not enough food, clean water, medicine. You are often mistreated by the guards. You are separated from your spouse and your children. They are in other parts of the camp. Your fellow Christians, your brothers and sisters, some of them steal what little food you have because they're starving. You struggle not to become an animal like so many people in concentration camps, but it's hard, very hard not to. And you can't believe how unjustly you have been treated by your country and the guards who are guarding you. In short, your life stinks. It stinks. Then you hear a pastor who's also in the concentration camp say, love your enemies. And you know you simply cannot love your enemies and the guards who have imprisoned you because you have come to hate them with an undying hatred for how they have treated you. So what does a person do who chooses to abide in Christ in that situation? He loves his enemies anyway, no matter how he feels. He says to the Lord, Christ, you are in me and I am in you. You loved your enemies even as they crucified you. I feel nothing but hatred towards my enemies, but I am going to trust you and love them, no matter how I feel. I choose to do this by faith. Jesus loved my enemies through me. And then by faith, you just do it. You love your enemies in the power of Jesus' name. You pray for them as Jesus commanded you to pray for them. You choose to genuinely wish them well. You do good to them despite the evil they do to you. When they slap you, you turn the other cheek. And you allow Jesus to do all this through you because you can't do it on your own. And you do it despite your hate. And the funny thing is, when you love your enemies by faith, Jesus often slowly but surely melts the cold, hard hatred lodged in your heart, and you begin to see your enemies in a different light. And you begin to grieve for them because of what they're doing to their soul. When you abide in Christ, you choose by faith to allow Him to empower you to be like Him. No matter the circumstances, no matter how you feel. It's not hard. It's not hard to abide in Christ. In fact, it's easy. However, it is often hard to want to abide in Christ. Sometimes we would much rather hate. But even in that, Christ helps us, doesn't He? Even in that. Now, what is the promise we are given? We are told in verse 5 that the one who abides in Christ bears much fruit. That's the promise we are given. If we are truly abiding in Christ, we cannot help but bear fruit. A branch on a vine doesn't up and decide one day to bear fruit. Yesterday I didn't feel like bearing fruit, so I didn't. Today I feel like bearing fruit, so today I will. A branch doesn't up and decide. A branch just bears fruit. So to you and me, we don't up and decide one day to bear fruit and one day not to bear fruit. We just bear fruit if we're connected to Jesus Christ. And of course, note that it doesn't say produce fruit. We bear the fruit. He produces the fruit. Jesus compared us in Matthew 5:13 to salt and in Matthew 5:14 to light. He didn't say be salt, be light. He said you are salt. You are light. He then went on to say that our saltiness, we can lose our saltiness and we can hide our light. But he didn't say be salt, be light. He said you are that. You are that. In the same way, Paul in 2 Corinthians 2:15 said that we are the aroma of Christ. And he said that sometimes because we are the aroma of Christ, we draw people to Christ because they are attracted to the gospel. Others who are not attracted to the gospel are often repelled by us. But he didn't say, be the aroma of Christ. He says, you are the aroma of Christ. Peter in 1 Peter 2:9 said that we are a royal priesthood. We stand with Christ between God and man. And we point people to Christ, to their salvation, to their way of salvation. Peter didn't say, be a royal priesthood. He said, you are a royal priesthood. Do you get the picture? In light of who God made us to be in connection with Jesus Christ, we cannot help but bear fruit to one degree or another. But the promise is even cooler than that. Jesus didn't just say that we would bear fruit. He said that we would bear much fruit, a lot. The fact is, God works through us much more than we sometimes think. I don't want to embarrass anyone here today, and I won't, but I could go from person to person to person to person to person and tell you the much fruit I see in you. And it would probably surprise you. And I could tell you each one, again, person to person to person, I could tell you how much you have blessed me. And if you stop and think about it, you know what I'm talking about. How often have these type of things happened to you? You were at work, someone's hurting, you listened to them as they poured out their hurt. You were just there, you weren't doing anything special. And then later that person comes up to you and says, I can't tell you how much it meant to me that you listened to me. Or someone is going through something at work and they need someone to just bounce some ideas off. They talk to you, you give them a little bit of advice, but it's not much of anything. You forget about that you even did it. And then a couple days later they tell you, when we talked, I can't tell you how much I valued what you said. And you're racking your mind, what did I even say? Or you work with kids in the church and you had no idea that that quiet person, that quiet kid in the corner who never said anything, hardly ever interacted with anything that was going on, you had no clue that that quiet kid was absorbing everything you said until years later. He comes up to you and says, I can't tell you what it meant for me to be in your class. Don't you suppose there is so much more fruit that's going on in your life that you don't even know about? If these are the things that you know about, how many things do you suppose is being produced through you, fruit that's being produced through you that you have no clue about. And don't you suppose there is much more fruit in your life which you don't know about simply because God doesn't want you to know about it, lest you become proud? I will say it again, I could go from person to person to person in this church and tell each one of you how much fruit I see in you. God's promises are true. When we abide in Him, we bear much fruit. Now, this was submitted to me by Jerry Sherwin when I first moved here to Platteville. And if you know Jerry Sherwin, this is so Jerry Sherwin. It's a comment on how some people make choices. So let me quote. After perusing the public library, surfing the internet, and thoroughly searching the media, screening, sorting, and interpreting the garnered information, chronologically organizing all the statistical data, giving due thought and utilizing procedural processing of all possible ideas, then taking into consideration the ramifications which could potentially affect all concerned people, personally, I feel very strongly both ways. Isn't that how some people are? They carefully consider all the options and then they decide to straddle the fence. And other people don't even consider the options. They just, from the get-go, decide to straddle the fence. God meant us to live our lives connected to Jesus. He's the vine, we are the branches. But some people, or we ourselves at some times, carefully considering our options, not carefully considering our options, we sometimes decide to straddle the fence. We want to have it both ways. We try to follow Jesus, and then we also go our own way. Doesn't work. It's like when I used to say to my direct reports when I was a supervisor at 3M in my Dilbert moments, I'd say to them, the rules always apply, except for when they don't. You can't have it both ways. It never works. A branch can't be connected to the vine and disconnected from the vine at the same time. It's one or the other. May you and I choose to abide in Christ. And may we bear much fruit and thus glorify our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You have saved us and are daily sanctifying us. You are the vine, we are the branches. We choose to abide in you. Bear much fruit through us. Make us like you, good, strong, kind, humble, compassionate. Help us to value what you value, people, those who are hurting, the lost. Empower us with your Spirit, Lord, so that we might be what you want us to be and do what you want us to do, not for our sake, but that you might be glorified. In your name, amen.